If you're a fan of the HBO hit TV series Girls, then you know who Alex Karpovsky is. He plays Ray, the self-involved barista, an outspoken friend of the four female leads, and sometimes boyfriend to two of them. What you might not know is that Karpovsky is a BU alum who hails from Newton, Mass. He's also an independent filmmaker, whose most recent film is called Red Flag. The film stars Alex Karpovsky, who plays a character named Alex Karpovsky, a struggling independent filmmaker who gets dumped by his longtime girlfriend because he won't marry her.
Rachel, could you stop, please? Rachel? Hey, where are you going?
I'm leaving. You're sick.
I'm taking my film on this tour of the South, and unfortunately, Rachel can't come with me because she got sick, so I'm wondering if you want to come with me instead.
Alex!
Red Flag just screened at the L.A. Film Festival. It's Alex Karpovsky's fifth feature film, and he's with us now to talk about it, and of course about the third season of Girls. And Alex, welcome to Radio Boston, and welcome home. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell me about this film, Red Flag. It stars you, a struggling independent filmmaker who gets dumped by his girlfriend, who then sets out to promote his film. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, so I made a movie a few years ago called Woodpecker. It was my second feature-length film, and this society out of Atlanta was nice enough to set up a tour for it across the South. They basically show low-budget independent films in rural areas that might not normally get exposed to that type of stuff. So it was a two-week engagement. I'm flattered that anybody wants to show my stuff, but the prospect seemed a bit lonely. You're kind of driving by yourself. Hmm. It's a lo-fi operation, from one rinky-dink sort of screening to another, and I wasn't really that excited about it, so I thought maybe we can try to whip up some story around it, some sort of creative enterprise around it. So I started thinking about ways to kind of maybe bring some friends on board, make it A, fun, and maybe B, something I can call a film later on. So that was sort of how the train sort of got rolling, and then I wrote it an outline for about 2 or 3 months, and then while we were on the tour for Woodpecker, we made a movie about a filmmaker on tour.
That's
so all the screenings and all the venues, all the locations are actually real locations that were part of the itinerary of the tour.
I see. So this really tracks your life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, the main character, as you mentioned, is me. I feel like he's an amplified version of my real self. We kind of take my neuroses, insecurities, delusions, ambitions, and heighten them for comedic and sometimes dramatic effect, I hope.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about these neuroses. You were the subject of a recent profile in The New Yorker, which described you as the guy who shows promise of becoming his generation's Woody Allen, a deadpan noticer of indignity. I love that description. Do you think that's accurate? Deadpan noticer of indignity?
I think one thing that I really like about Woody Allen, and one thing I really like about Lena as well, is that...
Lena Dunham, of course, creator of Girls.
They're both incredibly perceptive people, and they catch all these subtleties of human behavior and human interactions, the way people carry themselves and express themselves, that really illustrate a truth that is often kind of buried in the corners of our interactions and other parts of our sort of social society. And if I'm somehow able to kind of have some heightened aspects of perception in that sense, I think it's a good thing, and it could only help, and it could only foster a sense of originality, I think, ultimately, too.
Are these neuroses, though, are they really yours?
Some of them are mine. Some of them are sort of borrowed, again, to amplify a story's effect. One of the main sort of neuroses that the guy in this film, Red Flag, nurtures is a death anxiety. You know, I think we all, not to kind of get too deep here, but I feel like to some extent we all are carrying around some sort of immortality deception mechanism. You know, I feel like we tell ourselves we're going to live forever just to kind of get through the day without the anxiety of our impending death paralyzing us. And that's something this guy really grapples with. And to some degree, I think a lot about death as well.
So let me ask you a little bit about your character in the hugely successful series Girls, in which you play Ray Plushansky. So by the third season, you're manager of a coffee shop in Brooklyn Heights. You're a giver of very frank advice to the four female leads. In this scene, your girlfriend Shoshana, played by Zasha Mamet, is breaking up with you.
Seriously, you hate everything. You hate the sound of children playing, and you hate all of your living relatives, and you hate people who wear sunglasses, like even during the day. You hate going to dinner, which you know I love. You hate colors, you hate pillows, you hate ribbons, you hate everything. I can't be the only thing you like. So maybe you just have to go change, and then we can be in love at another time.
I need a change? Maybe you need a change. You ever think about that? Maybe then you'll appreciate the difference between negativity and critical thinking.
And Alex, I love that line. There's a difference between negativity and critical thinking. So tell me something about Ray, how you think about him. Who is Ray?
Well, Ray is a person who initially is very opinionated. He's very judgmental. He has very little patience for these slightly younger hipsters that populate his social scene and also his job at the coffee shop. But slowly, as we spend more time with him, and that's one of the great things about episodic TV, is you can really sit with someone for an extended period of time. We understand that there's a lot of insecurities that are underlying this judgment and cynicism and a lot of vulnerability. And we kind of explore those things in his unfolding relationship with Shoshana, and then in season three in his sort of strange, kind of misguided sometimes relationship with Marnie. So he's a man who's a little bit older than the group. I feel like he's compulsed because of that to give them some sort of advice. Oftentimes the advice is quite tortured and perverse. But I think he's there to kind of give there to give the girl some perspective on their quote-unquote plights, on the relationship promise.
I think he's the truth giver in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
he?
He's sort of the truth giver many times, the perspective injector, the moral compass. Yeah, and that's what I really like about playing that character as well.
So in the current season, and I just saw this episode recently, Marnie asks Ray to explain what's wrong with her. And he really gives it to her. So let's take a listen.
Well, for beginners, you're extremely judgmental.
What?
Yeah, you came in here and immediately insulted me and my neighborhood.
Those were funny jokes.
Well, you come across like you're better than everyone and you want no part of their lives. And then when you're excluded from things, you're outrageously offended and hold on to this grudge. Also, you're unbearably uptight.
Okay. Who isn't uptight, really, if we're being serious?
And you use people. You use people a lot.
No.
Yeah, you do. So much so that even when you try to connect and be sincere, it comes across as phony.
Wow. And after this whole takedown, your character, Alex, makes it clear that he still accepts Marnie. It's almost like he sees a little bit of himself in her, right?
Absolutely. He knows she's flawed. He knows he himself is flawed. Right. He makes no illusions that no one is not flawed. So I think ultimately after advice is given, there's a vulnerability that kind of follows in its wake.
You mentioned that he's this older guy among this younger group of hipsters. I think I read you're 33 years old, but on Girls, you refer to as Old Man Ray in one of the scenes.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Well, relative to the other principal characters, I am old, you know, and, you know, most of them are in their early to mid 20s. So there's like a 7 or 8 year difference. But when you're that age, when you're 23, 24, someone in their early 30s could seem, you know, nothing short of Jurassic. So I understand where that label comes from.
Yeah. I want to ask you what it's been like to be on this ride. I mean, Girls has become such a social phenomenon, almost hugely successful. What's that ride been like?
Well, I feel like it hasn't fully kicked in. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a little bit of disassociation in place, and I think that's maybe coming from a protective place. But obviously, I'm thrilled that people are watching it. I'm thrilled to be able to talk to you and have an outlet for my own movies as a result of it. So it's wonderful, but I also try not to overthink it or over-examine it and read blogs and all that sort of stuff. I feel like that's counterproductive.
Because? I'm curious. Say more about that.
If you overthink certain things, if you overexamine them, if you are too conscious of how other people perceive them, then it could sort of interrupt or compromise your flow, your ability to actually do it in a way that you feel is pure. I know that sounds a little vague, but I think it's a fear and an anxiety because it's kind of vague in a sense as well.
I'd love to ask you a little bit about Lena Dunham. She's the star, obviously, the writer, the director. You were in her film Tiny Furniture, which predated Girls. You know, what kind of working environment does she create?
Well, it's incredible. Lena wears so many hats on the show. She's creator, producer, writer, director, star. Her sensibility is allowed to be expressed in a way that's really undiluted and clear. Mm-hmm. So the set is basically an expression of her personality in many ways. And because she's very relaxed, she's very confident without being arrogant. She's very generous to the actors. She really kind of encourages us to take risks and play around. That's what kind of every actor dreams of, you know, to be comfortable, to give them space, to be encouraged to kind of go into weird and wacky places. It's been absolutely wonderful.
I mean, she's so young and she's obviously so accomplished and so good at what she's done. I mean, what's the explanation for that?
I absolutely don't know if I have one. I mean, she comes from an incredibly talented home of artists. She made a movie that was really honest. I think it took a lot of courage to make Tiny Furniture in the way that she made it. But I mean, I cannot really articulately explain where the genius of Lena Dunham comes from.
I'd love to ask you a little bit about growing up in Newton. You're the only child of Russian immigrants. What kind of childhood did you have here in Newton?
Look, I love Newton. It's a leafy suburb, you know, outside of a really wonderful city. So it was really great. I had an incredible public education in Newton South High School. Free school, amazing school. Mm. It was pretty great, I mean, in many ways. In other ways, you know, my parents are Russian immigrants, as you said. They spent the first 30 years of their life in the Soviet Union. So it's to put it very mildly, it was an adjustment for them coming to America. Most of their TV shows, most of their friends, most of their source of news is coming from Russian sources. Mm. So I kind of was late to the game in terms of sort of integrating myself culturally into America. And so, and the fact that I didn't have any brothers or sisters didn't help.
Interesting.
Either.
And you spoke Russian at home, right?
Yeah,
with your parents.
And we still do, yeah.
All right. Well, Alex Karpovsky, great pleasure talking to you. Thanks for coming in.
It was a genuine pleasure. Thank you.
That's Alex Karpovsky. He's an independent filmmaker. His latest film is called Red Flag. You can see a trailer to it at RadioBoston.org. He also plays Ray in the HBO series Girls.
Well, Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.